He's been proven. He's been tried. They've tried to do away with his word. They've tried to take him out, but God proves himself over and over and over again this morning. So he's faithful. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to go into the book of Jeremiah together. Jeremiah chapter 2. If you take notes and would like a title for the message this morning, the title is this: Where is the Lord? Where is the Lord? Jeremiah chapter 2 this morning, when I begin reading at verse number 4, if you'll stand out of reverence for God and his word this morning, I am going to read a pretty lengthy passage of scripture text this morning, going down through verse number 20. But I want to start at verse number 4, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 4. It says, "Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? That led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a beautiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not, and the pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will plead with thee, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim, and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord." Verse 13. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of the living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled? The young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made him his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Also the children of Noah and Tapanus have broken the crown of thy head. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself? In that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he has led thee by the way. And now what thou hast to do in the way of Egypt, to drink of the waters, of what hast thou to do with the way of Assyria, to drink of the waters of the river? Thine own wickedness shall corrupt thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Now therefore, and see that it is an evil thing and bitter, and thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." And we'll stop reading right there this morning. I know that's a lot of scripture, but I want us to pray this morning. Jesus, I pray in our hearts that we not let go of the one true God. I pray this morning, Lord, as we look around the world around us and the situations of life, that we would not be a people like this people that we're reading about this morning, that chose a different way of living other than you. Lord, you have been the proven one. You are the tested one. Your word is sure, and the foundation of who you are is very sure this morning. Turn our eyes back to you, Lord, in this hour that we're living. Help each and every one of us to put our faith back in the Almighty God. We give you our praise this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. There's a lot of questions in people's hearts today. There's a lot of things going on in the news that if you even stop for just a moment at the news, you hear a lot of violence and a lot of things that's just out of proportion to the world that we've once knew. There's a question that seems to be on the heart of a lot of people this morning, even the children of God, the saints, even pastors, even those that are going out evangelizing, and it seems to be this kind of question: where is the Lord? Well, I want to introduce this to you this morning and say that you can really say this in a couple of ways. You can say it from your heart that says, where is the Lord? He's forsaken me. Where is the Lord? He's not around for me to find. Where is the Lord? He doesn't seem to be there for me. Or you can be one that's had faith in your heart, and you can say it this way and say, where is the Lord? Let's remember him this morning. Where is the God that had done it once before? Where is the Lord that my grandmother had told me about? Where is the Lord that my father had taught me about? Where is the Lord that my youth minister that I used to sit under was telling me so fervently about? Let's get back to saying it that way this morning. Let's not be like the world in the question that says, where is God? Like he's dead. But let's be the church this morning that says, where is the God that we want to keep talking about? The one who made the heavens and the earth, the one who formed us even yet before and knew us yet before we were in our mother's womb. We want to get back as a church this morning and say it this way: where is the God that I remember? I want to tell you about him. Where is the Lord who is the Savior of the world? I need to witness to you about him this morning. And we don't need it to be a question of, is he ever going to show up again? Is he ever going to do any powerful deeds again? Is he ever going to restore? Is he ever going to conquer again? The answer is yes. In the name of Jesus, we're going to see more victory. Yes, in the name of Jesus, we're going to see more greatness of the Lord upon our lives. We don't need to say like the world, where is God? Like he's far off and gone this morning. But I want to say to you this morning in the church, talk about him. Spend your moments talking and rehearsing, remembering what God has done. Just like the song said, he's faithful. Just like the Word of God reminds us, he is with us, never leaving us, never forsaking us. One of the scripture references that I ran across as I was preparing the message this morning is out of Malachi chapter 3, and the Lord said this: I am the Lord, and I change not. I'm the Lord, and I change not. But what's happened is we've changed. We've changed the question from the day of faith when we said, where's the God? Preach to me about the God that brought the children across the Red Sea. Preach to me about the God that delivered David as he was just a young lad fighting a Goliath giant. Remember and preach to me about the God that was with Daniel in the lion's den. Preach to me again. Let my ears hear it again. Let my heart be encouraged again that what God did for them, he'll do for me. If we're going through a fiery furnace, God knows how to walk in the fiery furnace still today. If you're going through a valley, God knows how to be there in the valley. And he loves us this morning. And I want us to just think differently of him this morning. There's enough talk in the world that lets us listen in on what they say, and they're trying to make God out to be a dead God. He's not a dead God. My Bible tells me that he was risen on the third day out of the grave, and that grave is empty this morning, and we're serving a grave that's empty, not serving the grave, but the one who was in the grave. His name is Jesus this morning, and we celebrate him this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jeremiah is one of God's prophets in the Bible. He had a job and a task that was not often easy. God was speaking in Jeremiah chapter 2. He was talking and he was getting the attention of the children of Israel. And he began to ask some questions. You mean God asks some questions? Yes. God will ask questions. And he's got the children of Israel gathered together. And Jeremiah is the prophet that's got to deliver this word. All the families of Israel are there. So I love it when God uses families in the Bible. Next Sunday is going to be a service dedicated to family togetherness. And I love the Lord in all of his scripture, how he wants us to be a family. And that's going to be a great time next week. But this family, this children of Israel, is facing something. God asks a question of them and he says, what did I do? What iniquity did your fathers do? What injustice did your fathers find in me that now they're far gone away from me? What's going on, children of Israel? What's going on in the church today? And he could be asking us the question this morning, why are people turning away from me? Have you found some iniquity in me? Have you found some injustice in me? And the answer to that's going to be no, because we serve a holy God this morning. He can't even look upon sin. When his own son was on the cross and he bore the sins of the world and he was bearing the sins of all of us, and there was a moment when Jesus found out that his own Father God had to turn his head away, and Jesus said from the cross, why, my Father, my God, why have thou forsaken, why have you looked away from me? He felt betrayed. He felt like he was lost, and Jesus is standing there in the midst of us this morning for the Lord and helping us to understand that he's with us today. He's never left us. So he asked this question, what injustice? What changed about God? What's different about his word today? I mean, the battles that we're facing, where our militaries and our soldiers are going, has God not brought the soldiers through war before? Have we not faced times when there's lack, when there's things that are broken, when there's things that are undone? I mean, are we serving a God that's lost all of his power, lost all of his might, all of his glory? And I stand on the platform this morning, I declare to the church that God is the God who says, I do not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is he saying in that? God's done it the same way. Every single time the children would turn their backs on God, God says, if you'll turn back to me, I'll turn back to you. He's the same God that way. When you're in trouble today, he's a God that wants to deliver you the same way. When you come to Calvary, when you come to the cross, when you kneel down and you confess your sins and you say, God, I've sinned, I've made something wrong of my life, and he'll be there to help you through that time. He's the same God. He hasn't changed. But the world is working with an enemy spirit that wants to change how we see God. But I don't want to believe that this morning. I refuse to believe that God is no longer bringing his power and glory into the house of God. I know his presence. I know his peace. I know that in the children of God's heart, his love remains. And as long as there is love of God inside our hearts, there is hope for a nation. There's hope for a people. There's hope for another generation. There's hope for the grandchildren. There's hope for the young kids. There's hope for the teenagers that are faced with every kind of problem that's right before their faces today, young adults and elders of the church. Not one of us are escaping problems and trials today, but every one of us have access to the same God that said, I'm always there. I'm there in the morning. I'm there in the evening. I'm there in the afternoon. But the children of Israel were being asked by the prophet and by the voice of the Lord, what iniquity did you find in me? What gives you the right to turn away from me and stop believing that I'm the God that delivers? I'm the God that sets free. I'm the God that knows how to get you out of trouble. I'm the God that wants to be right there with you in the midst of every fire. What did he do for the children of Israel? I mean, we know some things that he did, but here Jeremiah is reminding the people some things that God had done for them. And you know what? When we look at the children of Israel, you and I are going through similar things. It doesn't matter if we live back in the Bible days with them or if we're going through different things today. The same God that delivered the children of Israel is a God that can deliver us this morning. Amen? So let's talk about that this morning. They said one of the things that was happening that Jeremiah was talking about that he noticed, he said, no, the people, the voice of the people, they're not saying, where is the Lord anymore? No one's bringing the faith back into the house of God. Where is the Lord that delivered us? Where is the Lord that conquered our enemies? Where is the Lord that fed us manna in the wilderness? Where is the Lord that opened up a rock and provided water? See, there needs to be a voice of faith always remaining in the house of God. There needs to be a voice of faith always remaining in the house of every believer, because it's the voice of faith that echoes the things that God has done. It's the voice of faith that will help us to remember that God has not changed, and what he did then, he can do today. So one problem that they had with this people was nobody in the crowd was asking the right question. Where is God? Somebody would come up with a problem. Nobody was saying, but where's the God that you have in your heart? He's big enough to handle that problem. Every time a situation comes up, people are turning every other direction. But what about the God that delivered you from your sins? What about the God that was there when you had the nightmares? What about the God that was there when your family was broken apart? What about the God that was there when your job was taken away? What about the God that was there when there was no food that you could actually go buy? And you had to wait on the Lord to bring a bag of groceries to your house? What about the times when God was there when you had no gas money to get places and all of a sudden a friend or somebody came along and offered you a ride to do these things? And what about how God has been there protecting you when you've been traveling on the road and it looked like danger was bound to happen and all of a sudden the angels of the Lord and the mercy of God kept you out of a wreck, kept you out of a death pile on the interstate or opened up your eyes when you might have fallen asleep at the wheel. And at the same time when you're opening up your eyes, then when you cross through the traffic, he had somehow stopped all the other cars where they weren't passing by when you might have went across the line at one time or another. Can anybody witness to me this morning that said God has been a God in your life and delivered you and helped you when you were sick and not feeling well? Is there anybody in the house of God this morning that says, let's talk about this God this morning? He's the same God yesterday, today, forever. Malachi says that I'm the Lord and I change not. That's what his word says. This is the kind of God I want to talk about this morning. What does he do for the children of Israel? He brought them up out of Egypt. He brought them up out of Egypt. When God gets in your life, he brings you up and out. Think about it, church. For over 400 years, the children of Israel were bound in slavery. Bound in slavery. This was not an occupation. This was not something that they desired to do with their life, but they ended up bound as slaves by the Egyptians because they had left their love of God and they found themselves in a place where they had quit on God and there was a bondage that came into their life. And over 400 years, they were bound in slavery. And then God says, but I'm still the same God. I love you. I'm getting you out of your bondage. I'm going to deliver you. And he brought the children of Israel. He brought them up and out of Egypt. And this is what he did to them. They came up and out. They were slaves. But you know what he turned them into in the wilderness? He turned them into warriors. I mean, come on, if you're going to build a team, if you're going to build a group of people to be a mighty, mighty, mighty army, are you going to start with slaves or are you going to go after the skilled men and women that know what it is to be of war? But God says, I'll take you as you are. You're bound in your slave spirit. You're bound and you're beat down and you feel like you can't get up. But I'm going to show you what kind of a God I am. You might be feeling like you're on the bottom of the rung right now this morning. You might feel like everything in your life is upside down. But listen to what God did for the children of Israel and start talking about this God in your life because he's ready to bring you up and get you out of bondage and he's going to take you from being a slave to something and he's going to make you a warrior for his kingdom. Hallelujah. They were warriors for the kingdom of God, church. That means that they weren't fighting for no cause. They weren't fighting for no unknown reason, but anytime God stands up his children to fight, it's for the cause of the kingdom of God and the future days of glory that you and I will make heaven our home and the ruling and authority power of Jesus to rule and reign on this earth. You and I are called warriors this morning. We need to shake off the bondage spirit and begin to flex the spiritual muscles and say, God, I'm a warrior. I can overcome sin. I can overcome that temptation. I can overcome that ridicule that somebody said against me. Lord, it hurt me greatly, but I am greater than that because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The Bible says I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. So you know what God needs? It's not a church that sits around and talks about what God once was, but let's ask the question and get the voice of faith back active in the church that says, I want to talk about what this God is today. I want to bring it back to light and say, there is a God. There is a Jehovah Jireh. There is a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. There is something to get excited about. There is something to shout about. There is something to praise the Lord about this morning. He also led them through the wilderness. Think about this. Wilderness places are scary. Wilderness times are not easy. You need to be led. I don't want to go to a forest somewhere and try to just find my way through and get out the other side. You'll be lost. You'll face things that you don't want to face. You need a guide. The Lord said, I'm not going to send you through the wilderness. I'm going to lead you through the wilderness. And when he leads through the wilderness, he provided a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But what does that mean today? How about Psalms 119 verse 105 that says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He is leading us through a dark wilderness day right now. Church, if you haven't noticed, the world around us has turned into a wilderness. You're not going to find your way through it. You're not going to just by chance happen to make it over and out of the situations, but you need a leader to lead you through the wilderness times. And even though it's dark and dreary and dry and all these things, it is the Word of God that has to be the lamp that lights your feet and shines on the path of righteousness again. So he brought them up out of Egypt, took them from being slaves and made them into warriors, led them through the wilderness by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire by night. And then it says that he took them through a land of deserts and pits. I mean, isn't it bad enough to go through the wilderness, Lord? I mean, isn't it bad enough that things look dark and dreary? Now you're taking me through deserts. It wasn't just one desert, but it was several deserts crossed together. Deserts, places where nothing is, no grocery stores, no resources. And the thing that God was doing for the children of Israel as they went through the deserts was the same thing that Philippians 4 begins to tell us, that my God shall supply all needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Are we not also going through a desert season where it seems like there's not enough money to pay the bills? There's not enough money to buy the groceries. There's not enough jobs to go around. It seems like not only are we in a wilderness and we need to be led by the Word of God again, but we're also going through some desert places right now, and we have to depend on the Almighty God, who is not dead, but he's the same God this morning. He knows how to feed children today. He knows how to deliver people today. He fed them in the wilderness and the desert then. He'll do it for us, but we've got to cling to Philippians 4 and begin to believe that my God will supply all my needs. I mean, you're going to burn yourself out trying to get it all. I'm somebody that I've worked multiple jobs raising a family. I was going to school full-time, working full-time, trying to do everything that this life says to do, and always chasing and always chasing and always chasing. And I had to get to a place in my life where I said, God, I can't physically do two jobs and school and a family and all these other things. And I kept thinking, you know, if you just work harder, you make more money, you'll get out. You make more money, you'll get out of these situations. Let me tell you, once you get out of one situation, the enemy's got another one around the corner that he's ready. And just when you think you got enough money in the bank to start saving a little bit, the washer breaks down. Just when you get the washer fixed, all of a sudden the stove starts acting up. And when all that gets done, you might have a leaky roof and things like that. But God is a God that supplies all of our needs. There was a day when this church had absolute great need, and God had provided. Did it happen overnight? No, but he was leading us step by step. He's guiding us. And church, I want to give you some good news. God is not done blessing this church. We've not reached the end of this ministry. We've not reached the end of our journey. God is still multiplying and bringing great things upon us if we'll just be in the word with him and say, my God shall supply all my needs. I want to see the end of the blessing. I want to see what all he has in store for us. He gets them through the desert, but you know what else is in the desert? There's pits in the desert. There's pits in the desert. Pits are things that if you fall down into them, it's so hard to get out of them. But God is a God that was in the pit. He knows how to get you out of pits. He says in the Word of God that he'll take our foot out of Psalms 40, I believe it is, where he says, out of the miry clay, and I'll set your foot upon the solid rock. It does not matter how much sinking you feel like you've sunk, like you've missed it, and you've fallen into a pit. God is there this morning. He'll deliver you. Danger. Pits are danger. Church, I don't know if there's ever been a time in this life that I've been living where there's more danger around me than any other time. As a kid, there's things I never thought would ever happen, but today as an adult, I'm seeing them. Not just on faraway countries, but right here. Right here, there's been attacks in schools. There's been shootings in workplaces. There's been women kidnapped and abused in broad daylight. Children. There's some pits out there that we need God to help us. We need to be praying about this God that knows how to help us. What else? Not only through the land of deserts and pits, but they went through a land of drought. Do you know that history has been recorded for this summer that it's the hottest summer ever? Ever recorded in history, not just 20 years ago, ever. We faced a drought season. Let me talk to you about what we do when it's drought time. A drought season means that the things of the natural are no longer working. That means the natural means that used to work seemed to be like the job was making it work, seemed to be like the government was making it work, seemed to be like the education system was making it work, seemed to be like the correctional institutions were seeming to make it work. When it becomes a drought season, nothing natural works anymore. The same places you went to get problems solved before don't work anymore. The same places that you went to get filled up don't work anymore. All of the things of the natural become let down and everything stops. Matthew chapter 6 tells us it's a little bit different situation, but it brings the same thing to light. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, don't spend your time laying up your treasures here on earth, because there's going to be moth and rust and decay is going to set in. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth nor thief nor anything could get in and bother it. What is it saying in Matthew chapter 6? Is it saying there's going to be a time when you've got to understand that the natural resources are going to run out. The things that you and I are used to are not going to mean anything anymore. And you need to think about spiritual matters. You need to think about eternity. You need to think about heaven and start storing up for yourselves treasures there. Are you getting tired of putting all your money in the stock market to see it lost? How about putting some deposits in your spiritual bank account and say, God, I know you'll meet my need, and I'm trusting that when I get to heaven, I've got lots of riches waiting on me, because you are the one that told me, don't lay up everything here. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us just give up and let the world have its way. But we need to do things spiritually today. We need to let our hearts be right with the Lord so that we're spending time doing the right thing. If you ever believe that the Lord is coming, if you believe that to be true, prepare like He is coming. Prepare like He is coming, because the seasons are right. Right now. Let's get over from the natural things, because I believe we're in a drought naturally. Friends disappoint friends. Employers disappoint employees. Churches and pastors disappoint congregations, and congregations disappoint pastors. You know why? Because we try to do it naturally. If we get in this game and try to blow up a church and make it as mega church as every other mega church, we're going to get in a race that we can't win. But if we let the Lord build us step by step, family by family, person by person, and we talk about the love of God, and we talk about the mercy of his grace, that'll change hearts. And as hearts change, we'll be knit together in this love relationship with Jesus. And when the tough really gets tough, we just lock arms and say, you know what? Let's talk about the God that can deliver us. Because there's nothing we can do. I don't have the resources in my house. You don't have the resources in your house. But we're in the house of worship. We're in the house of worship, and we can touch heaven this morning. If you have needs this morning, I'm believing for today. I'm not trying to preach something that says in the future. I'm believing right now today. Whatever your heart needs, God is here this morning. See, God did this for the children of Israel. And what he did for them, he'll do for us.
Yes, he will.
Brought them through a land of drought. All the natural resources, nothing natural is producing. Now we need to think about spiritual things. Then there's something that he said in this passage. The Lord said that I brought them through a land of the shadow of death. That sounds bad. But let me tell you something. Your shadow is behind you. It follows you. It goes where you go. The thing that we need to do as a church is not stop. Because if you stop, the shadow can get you. The shadow of death is there. But all you need to do is look over your shoulder and say, you might be chasing me spiritual death. You might be chasing me physical death. But I am marching with Jesus. And Jesus is taking me through the wilderness. He's taking me through the desert. He's got me out of Egypt. He's got me through the pits. He's getting me through the drought. He's walking with me, and as long as I spiritually move with the Lord, nothing of the devil can harm me, nothing of the enemy can get me. And it's just like a shadow. You might see the shadow, but don't give glory to the shadow. Give glory to the God who made you and is walking you through these situations, and just don't stand still long enough to let the enemy catch you. What did it say in Psalms 23? Yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord's promised to bring us to green pastures again, church. The Lord's promised to bring us to green pastures again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. He says something in this passage in Jeremiah chapter 2 that we need to get a hold of, for it's a right word for right now. In the prophecy, that in this thing that the Lord revealed to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah the prophet was sharing with the children of Israel, he went on and said, no man has ever went this way. No man has ever dwelt here. And I want to ask you this morning, are you living in a world right now that we could say no man's ever understood what we're facing? No man's ever dwelt there? There's no real plan for getting out of the message we have today. So we must get back to God and say, God, this is your territory. No man can solve this mess. No man can fix this circumstance. I'm talking about a worldwide revival that says we need to recognize God again this morning. If God can do anything, he can change the rumors of wars. He can stop the insults. He can correct the things of his word that's being taken out of context. He can put fire back in the pulpit. He can put saints of glory back in the benches. He can put revival in the streets again. I'm tired of the enemy thinking that we're going to lay down and give up and just be walked on as children of God. But we are the strong and mighty in Christ Jesus. These are the cities that we pray for. These are the times that we go to God for and say, God, man's never went this way before. They've never made it on their own. No man's ever dwelt here and been able to survive. Now we must get back to praying and saying, God, heal our land again. God, deliver us from the evil. God, help us to overcome these situations today.
Amen.
There's something we can do. We can start talking about this God that's living today. When Jeremiah started talking, he said, where is the Lord? The world's echoing that, trying to mock the church and say, where's your God now? But we need to jump to our feet and say, where is God? Let me tell you where he is. He's in my heart. He's in my family. He's in the church. He's in the pulpit. He's in the choir team. He's in the ministry of Sunday school. He's in all these things. God is still healing today. God is still delivering today. God is still. God is still God today. Something happened. God proved his faithfulness. He got them through all these things, and he got them to a place where the scripture says, I brought you into a plentiful country, and now you've been eating the fruit and the goodness thereof. This is a problem. It's a blessing, but it's a problem for the fallen nature of man, because what we tend to do is right after we get the blessing, we tend to start removing ourselves from God. We had to have him when we were going through the valley of the shadow of death. We had to have him when we were going through the desert. We had to have him when we were falling into the pit. But now that he's delivered us and we got a little bit of something on the table, table and we got a little bit of something in our pocket and we got a little bit of something in the church, then all of a sudden the natural part of man, the fallen nature of man, begins to do the unthinkable thing and begins to rebuke and run the opposite direction of God and begins to think that I've made it now, I've arrived, everything's okay, I can kick back and take it easy, I'm just going to enjoy what I've got, this is good, and God says there's a problem there. There's a problem there. This Bible right here in the next part of the scriptures, some of the scriptures that I read to you this morning is going to get right down to the very reason why nations fall, right down to the very reason why you and I are faced with so many problems today. And he starts dealing with the priests, the pastors, and the prophets. And here's what he says about that. When they are the ones that are not talking about God anymore, when the priests are not reminding the children of Israel that it's only by the blood sacrifice that your sins are forgiven, and then all of sin is just open to the world and nobody is getting checked over their sins anymore, and when the pastors are no longer preaching the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and getting in the pulpits and telling it like it is according to the word, and then the message is not being received any longer, the prophets are stopping hearing what is God saying today? What is the word for right now? And God is saying today, nations are going to fall when the priests and the pastors and the prophets stop asking, where is God? When the problems are coming, somebody's got to get in the pulpit again and say, but let's talk about the God that delivers. Let's talk about this. Let's sit down and understand that we can't solve all these problems, but we've got to pray again. The little song that says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Have you stopped believing that the peace of God can really exist in your life? It could be as simple as this. Just ask the blood of Jesus to wash you and cleanse you. And then he'll make you whole again. Here's a question in the scripture that gets about as serious as it can get in the Word of God. Verse number 11 in Jeremiah chapter 2. Hath a nation changed their gods? Church, the other nations of the world are not changing their gods. They're staying true to their gods, even though they are not gods and they're false gods. But then it says in the same verse, but my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. When the children of God change their own glory and start running after the worldly gods, we have done something that is unthinkable according to the word of God, because we're the ones that are only serving the one true God, Jesus, this morning. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There are not multiple ways to heaven. There is one way to heaven. There's only one book that will guide you through and through all the way. It's the Bible of God's holy word, and it's Jesus Christ of Nazareth that is the Savior of the world, that went to Calvary for you and I and shed his life and his blood and said, I am the one that is standing before the Father on your behalf this morning. You need him. You got to have him. And then the attention was brought out when the nations began to change. When the children of Israel began to serve other gods, the witness was called, and listen to the witness. It was the witness of heaven. It said, be astonished, O heavens, at this, be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord, when we turn from God and say, where is God, like the world, instead of we say, where is God, like the church, it says, I'll tell you where he is. He's in my house, he's in my heart, he's in my church, he's in my Sunday school, and we tell about the testimonies and the witnesses. If we began to tell it like the world and say, where is God, and believe that he's not there, when heaven is going to be a witness against us, and God's going to say, oh, heavens, pay attention to this, get horribly afraid, understand that desolate times are coming, because the Bible says my people have done two evil things. Number one, they've turned and they've forsaken God, who is the fountain of living water. You have to understand that water is a primary resource of every person. We've got to have water to survive. You can live longer without food, but you must have water to be nourished and keep your life going. And Jesus identifies himself in the Word of God as the living source of water and life. And when the children of Israel turned their backs on God. They decided we don't have to depend on the God that took us through the wilderness. We don't have to depend on the God that brought us through the deserts and the pits. We don't have to depend on the God who helped us overcome the drought seasons and all of those types of things and escaped us from the shadows of death. We don't have to depend on him, because what we're going to do is we're going to build our own cistern wells. We're going to build them up so that we can store our own water. And the Bible says that they traded God for broken cisterns that could hold no future water for them, meaning that when we trade out God and take on something of the world, we are on our way down to a pitfall that we will not be able to recover from until we say, God, I want the living water of heaven again to flow in my life, because I'm dry and I'm weary and I'm thirsty and I need to be refreshed. Jeremiah dealt with many things that seems like we're dealing with today. A people that got blessed and then turned on God and then began to speak like the world and said, where is God? He's no longer faithful. Remember the first question? What injustice or iniquity have you found? Have your fathers found in me? God's saying, what did I do? I've done nothing wrong. I'm the same God. I'm the God that does not change. It works the same way for this generation as it did for the generation of 1920. It works the same today, and it's going to be the same for our next generation. The Lord tarried long enough. Every child has to go by way of the cross, ask for forgiveness, receive by faith, confessing in their heart, believing with their mouth, believing in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's not going to be a new way to get saved. There's not going to be a new way to get out of trouble. But rest assured that even though man's never been here before, man's never dwelt here before, we're faced with problems that we've never seen before. We're asking to make decisions that we've never had to make before. But God says, I'm the same today. I'll get you through. Is that something worth praising God for this morning? I'm going to close. This is the way I want you to know your God this morning. Verse number 20, I just want to read the first half. It says, for of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands. God is saying, I'm the same God, the God of old, that broke every yoke then and burst every band that was holding you. Can you think of him that way this morning? He breaks every yoke. Can you put on some music, please? He breaks every yoke and every bondage. It's no fun to be yoked up and bound in something. And you know what? We all face different things. We face times that things just don't go right. We feel broken. When God gave us his word to encourage us, it isn't just like a little fairy tale, a little story that we tell our children. God gave us this message this morning that our faith might be restored. The voice of faith might come back to the church. Why should we sit back and just let the enemy take over everything? I don't think we should. I think we should say, where is the God that I remember? He's still alive. He's still with us today. I want us to bow our heads for just a moment this morning. And Sister Robin, is it okay if I share with the church today? Sister Robin and Brother Rob have been a blessing to the church, but I understand that today is going to be Robin's last official service with us today. And I'd asked if we could, as a church, pray a prayer of blessing at the end. I wanted to say that because I want you to stick around for that. And I want you to help me pray for them. But this time, right now, while you have your heads bowed, your eyes closed, let me just talk to you a minute. If you can say this morning, You know, I can relate to the wilderness. I feel like I'm there. I can relate to the desert, the pits, even the shadows of death, the drought season. Sounds a lot like my heart right now. If you can identify with that and you would say this morning, but you know what? I want the peace of God to just let me know that I'm going to make it through. Maybe you need to ask Jesus to come back into your heart if you've had him once. Maybe today would be a day when you would say, you know, I really just want to get right with God. What I want to ask you to do, and not out of embarrassment or anything like that, I just want to count to three this morning, and I'm going to just ask you to slip your hand up for just a second. And then as a body of Christ together, we're going to pray. But by you lifting up your hand, you're just giving a witness to the Lord, saying, Lord, I've received this today. It's touched my heart. I want you. I need you. And you just want to make things right with the Lord this morning. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to count to three, and then we're going to pray. One, two, three. Just begin to lift up your hands and say, Lord, this is me this morning. I need your peace. I need you in my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord sees your hands. You can put them down. Now, church, I want you to pray with me. Prayer is not a hard thing. Prayer is just talking to the Lord. And I'll begin a prayer, and you just throw your words in as you want to, but ask the Lord to cleanse you this morning. Ask him to touch your heart, forgive you. He loves you. Remember, he's a God that doesn't change. As soon as we come back to him, he comes back to you. And the good thing is, when God comes back into your life, he begins to make things change. Just be patient and watch him work. Don't get discouraged. Father, we want to remember the God that blessed the children of Israel and got them through all these things. This morning, Lord, many hearts need to be refreshed. They just need to know that you'll be there for them. Would you somehow, some way, just touch their heart? The love that you have, just embrace them. That your words really mean something. That you care. You don't set us up to fail, but you help us when we have failed. You bring us out. You don't want us to live under guilt and shame because you've shed your blood and said you can be forgiven. Doesn't matter what the sin was. You can make us whole again. Would you touch the hearts of the people this morning? Wash them from their sins. Wash my heart. Father, help us to stand before you pure this morning. We honor you and we praise you. And just let the church say this together. Amen.